In case somehow you haven't found out, Thanksgiving is Thursday. Three years after the pilgrims at Plymouth Rock had landed, Governor Bradford in 1623 issued the following proclamation. To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, and green vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and with the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he had protected us from the ravages of savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord 1623rd, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. As I said, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. It's one day in which we, like all those early pilgrims, set aside time in our busy schedules to give thanks to God. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But the Word of God tells us that there should be a continual daily attitude. Ephesians 5:19-20 tells us to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 tells us, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul's main theme here is praise and thanksgiving. Notice the important words in these passages. Always, continually, and in all circumstances. It sounds like Paul is talking about a church service. This is especially evident in Ephesians as we read, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart. But he is not talking about a church service. He is talking about a continual attitude for Christians. He's speaking about an attitude of the heart. He is speaking about how we are to act around each other. But how, you may wonder, can we have this attitude continually? How can we have this attitude, especially in all circumstances? I believe that the answer lies in our perspective of thanksgiving. We need the proper perspective of thanksgiving. One young lady in college wrote a letter to her mother. Dear Mom, sorry I have not written sooner. My arm really is broken. I broke it on my left leg when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had the fire. We were lucky. A young service attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. It has been so nice. I must admit that I am pregnant. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I am doing fine and will write more when I get a chance. Love, your daughter, Susie. P.S. None of this is true. But I did get a C in sociology and flunk chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this news in its proper perspective. To be thankful in all circumstances, we need a proper perspective of our circumstances and of our God. Only then will we be able to give thanks to the Lord always. I believe that there are three attitudes that steal away our gratitude. Three things that keep us from being thankful. One is our pride. This is the attitude that says, nobody ever gave me anything. I have worked hard for everything I have. For years, you studied hard, and now it's finally paying off. With this kind of attitude, we feel that we have no one to thank but ourselves. We did it ourselves. The second attitude that keeps us from being thankful is a critical spirit or a constant complaining. Instead of being grateful, this person will always find something to complain about. A lady was known as the incurable grumbler. She complained constantly about everything. And at last, her pastor thought that he had found something that she could be happy about. He discovered that her farm crop was the best for miles around. And when he met with her, he said with a beaming smile, "You must be very proud, Mary. Everyone is saying how healthy your potatoes look this year." She replied, "True, they are pretty good. But what am I going to do when I need to feed the bad ones to the pigs?" You didn't catch that one. A third attitude that keeps us from being grateful is carelessness. Someone once said that if the stars came out only once a year, we would stay up all night to watch them. But they're there every night, and we have grown accustomed to them. The Israelites grumbled because they did not have food. So God miraculously sent manna, which is a crust-like bread, to cover the ground every night except the Sabbath day. Then they started to grumble because it was the same thing every day. They had a miracle straight from God every day, but they no longer were satisfied. And because of pride, carelessness, or a critical spirit, we will never truly be thankful for all that God has given us. Rudyard Kipling was a great writer and poet, and I'm sure that many of us have read some of his works, and maybe a few of us have enjoyed him. Kipling was one of the few who had the opportunity to enjoy his success while he was still living. He made a great deal of money from his writings. And one day, a newspaper writer approached him and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that someone calculated that the money you make from your writings amounts to over $100 a word." Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, "Really? I certainly wasn't aware of that." So the reporter reached into his pocket and he pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Kipling. He said, "This is a $100 bill, sir. Now, give me one of your $100 words." Kipling looked at the $100 bill for a moment, took it, folded it up, put it in his pocket, and said, "Thanks." He is right. The word thanks is certainly a $100 word. In fact, I would say it is more like a $1 million word. It is one word that is too seldom heard of, too rarely spoken, and too often forgotten. If we would all adopt an attitude of thanksgiving in our lives would be changed. We would enjoy every day. If any nation ought to be thankful to God and grateful for His goodness, it ought to be the United States of America. If any people in America ought to be thankful to God and grateful for His graciousness and His goodness, it ought to be Christians. And this morning, I am sharing with you three things we learn about thanksgiving from the Bible. One, thanksgiving should be expressed. One of the choruses we find in Psalms 100 says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart." David in Psalms 107 wrote, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." We should express our thanks to God and others. In Luke 17, we read about the 10 lepers who were healed. And out of those 10, only one came back to say thanks. Jesus asked, "Where are the other 9? The one man was the only one willing to go back and say thank you. And because of that, Jesus said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Have you ever wondered why Jesus said that? I mean, like the others, the man was already healed from the leprosy from the time that they first showed themselves to the priest. But Jesus said to this one man, "Your faith has made you well." He was not just talking about a physical healing. He was talking about a spiritual healing. He was speaking about a mental healing. This man was made whole. And we too are made whole by our thanksgiving. Psychologists today tell us that by sincere gratitude, thanksgiving is the healthiest of all human emotions. Hans Selve, who's considered the father of stress disorder studies, has said that gratitude produces more positive emotion energy than any other attitude in life. A thankful heart will endear others to us and us to others. You see, thanksgiving is not only good for the giver, but it's also good for the receiver. God appreciates our thanksgiving. It lifts him and it glorifies him. Thanksgiving endears him to us. It draws us closer. If we're not grateful, if we do not express our thanksgiving, then it can have the opposite effect. Romans 1:21, Paul wrote, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." The passage appears to imply that people who are not grateful to God will soon fall away. Their hearts will soon become hardened. And here we see pride keeping people from worshiping God and from being thankful. Before we leave this point that thanksgiving should be expressed, here are a few ways that we can say thank you to God. Spend time with him, not just an hour a week. Say thankful to God when you forgive others, when you serve in his church, when you share his plan of salvation, when you reach out to hurting people, when you give God the best of your time, and when you praise him enthusiastically in your heart. Secondly, I believe we should learn that our thanksgiving should be expansive. As our thanksgiving expands, it should include 3 things. The blessings of life. You know, I really love Teresa. We've been together 30 years in May, this coming May. She's a very special lady. She's truly a blessing in my life. And one thing that really is special is that each evening she stands in our kitchen and thanks God for our sink full of dirty dishes. No, she really doesn't do that. But we should. A sink full of dirty dishes usually means that we have been blessed by God with daily food and water. Do you realize that 2/3 of the world go to bed hungry every night? 1 out of every 3 of us in this room will have food enough for evening worldwide. 2 out of 3 of us in this room go to bed hungry. Our prayers are often very general. We say, "Thank you for all your blessings." But what blessings are we really thankful for? The hymn, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done." Our thanksgiving should also include the burdens of life. This is a tough one. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." Ephesians 5:20 says, "Always give thanks." Now, you may think that Paul surely made a mistake, or even that this was easy for him to say, but it was not. Paul suffered some very difficult problems that he called a thorn in his flesh. He had also been run out of town. He had been beaten. He had been whipped. He had been imprisoned. He had been betrayed by friends. He had been stripped naked. He had been cold, hungry, shipwrecked, and stoned because of his faith. Still, Paul never stopped giving thanks. Paul said several things that really showed he had the proper perspective of the burdens of life. He said, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us." And then he went on and he said, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For I am weak, then I am strong." And in Philippians, he wrote, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." When we, like Paul, have the proper perspective, we too can give thanks in all circumstances. And in our weaknesses, God can make us strong. When we are struggling, God is able to work in our lives. He helps us through those times that we could never face on our own. The Philippian jailer, as we read in Acts 16, was ready to take his own life because an earthquake had freed his prisoners. But what saved him was the attitude of Peter and Silas during that difficult imprisonment. That night they were singing and praising God, even though they were in chains. They knew that God would help them. Because of their joy, the jailer and all his household became Christians. Others can come to Jesus because of your example, especially in the midst of difficult times. Our thanksgiving should include the benefits of life as well. When the Israelites focused on what they did not have, they failed to see all that they did have. We're constantly adding to our prayer list, but more than anything else, we should be adding to our praise list. We've all had difficult times. Maybe even times where we've given up on life itself. You know, statistically, almost every person at some time or another in their life has asked if life is really worth going on and living. But if we really look at all of the benefits of life, I think we will find that it is good to be alive. It is good to feel the wind in our face. It is good to see the sunrise. It is good to fall in love. It is good to see our newborn child or grandchild for the first time. It's good to have a friend hug us and to tell us that we are special. And as Christians, there are other benefits of life. We can be sure that we are forgiven, that we are free. It is good to be alive. Not only should our thanksgiving be expressed and expanded, but we should also learn that our thanksgiving is expected. Paul says that we are to give thanks in all circumstances because this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. This is God's will for us. He knows if we will do it that our lives will be changed. And this is the mark of a growing Christian. You know, a baby is ungrateful. You can take a little baby when it has a colic and you can walk the floors with it for hours. When you put the baby down, they do not say thank you. More than likely, they'll just yell a little louder. And a child has to be taught to be thankful. It just does not come naturally. And sometimes you have to force them to say thank you. When we realize how blessed we are by others and by God, then we are able to say we are growing in our walk with our God. Our thanksgiving is also a mark of a giving Christian. When we realize how much God has done for us and how much He continues to do, we should be more than happy to give back to Him. And this comes through our time and also our financial giving. Someone has said that for thanksgiving to be a real thanksgiving, there must be thanks and there must be giving. Thanksgiving is a mark of a growing Christian, a giving Christian, and a glowing Christian. If you're thankful to God, then you will be glowing. You will not be constantly critical and pessimistic. And instead, you will be thankful. You will be thankful for the difficult times that are just that. But they will not break you. In 2 Corinthians 4:8, Paul says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is not seen." Yes, the psalmist was right. It is good to give thanks unto the Lord.